On Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA, it is WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen. And once a month, we have a talk here about Money Matters, ARC Federal Credit Union Money Matters. Lisa Kaphammer is from ARC. Welcome.
Welcome.
And what we wanted to go over this month, according to what Lisa sent us on the outline here, is having a serious discussion with your significant other, whoever that may be, about money, because it's something that most people, as you point out in some of this, have disagreements about.
Absolutely. It is a very, it's a contention point in a lot of relationships. I mean, I think if you looked up a statistic, and I used to know it, but a lot of divorces and separations are caused by financial conflicts, just simply because people manage money differently. Some people don't have a good plan for it. Some people have different approaches to it. So you need to make sure that you're on the same page as your partner.
I have seen, not in my personal experience, but I have seen it in other couples where one is a spendthrift and then the other just wants to, you know, be the total opposite.
Spend.
Yeah. So there's a bit of a tension over that. And yeah, it can lead to some of the biggest disagreements I've seen some of my friends go through. So where do you even start about this? Planning ahead, I guess?
Right. Yeah, it is always best to talk about, hey, we need to set a time to sit down and discuss finances. You don't want to just throw that in somebody's face and surprise them with it and say, look, you spent too much on this. We're talking about everything right now. Like, this is just, we're having this talk, and throw that at them out of the blue, because that can seem aggressive, or it can seem, catching someone off guard like that usually makes for an unpleasant situation overall. And that generally is what I would classify as a fight more than a conversation. And you want it to be an equal conversation. So I think it's important to set that up and approach that, that you're both coming to the table with time to gather your thoughts on it. And that way you can maybe set a couple goals. I would say, you know, pick maybe three goals that you both want to have financially. So when you do say, okay, hey, well, you know what, let's have a talk on, you know, Sunday afternoon or something. We'll put everything, clear the calendar, and we're going to sit down and just go over this. It gives you a chance to look at, you know, log into your online banking and look through, okay, what have we been spending money on lately? And is there somewhere I could have been a little more careful? Or that way you can look at your own behaviors and your partner's, because sometimes in the moment you get upset, like, why did you spend money on that? We didn't need that. And you need to take time and look at yourself too in your own behavior. So prepare that.
I guess the problem is, if both partners are very busy, trying to find spare time for anything.
True.
Is a little bit difficult, but this is, I mean, what's the old thing? Plan ahead or plan to fail?
Right. Yeah. Failure to plan is planning to fail.
Okay.
It is, yeah.
So if people have some type of plan or some type of idea, a common goal of what they want to do, it's going to be a lot easier and takes a lot of stress out of it. It's like, okay, well, we've talked it over and come to a conclusion that we both agree this, whatever this is the best course of it. And if you don't do that, maybe you'll have less spare time, whether it be because you have money problems or because you're working extra hours to make up for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You'd be surprised how much stress you can eliminate simply by streamlining your expenses, I think is maybe the easiest way to phrase that. But if you realize that, hey, maybe I shouldn't be doing X, Y, Z on such a regular basis, or I could be a little more careful when I go to purchase these things. Maybe I have a bad habit of doing this. If you have those conversations, you might be surprised how quickly you can start building up that savings account or making a little extra room in your budget. And that financial stress, whenever you are living paycheck to paycheck, it eats into everything, right? You feel that stress all the time, that tightness in your chest, that rock in your belly, and you take that out on people around you, the people you're closest to usually. So it pays off to make time. It doesn't have to be 3 hours. You know, you can sit down and say, look, let's just talk for 20, 30 minutes and see what we can establish.
You don't want it to feel like, oh, you're being called into the boss's office at work, and Right. We need to talk about something. See me is Friday at 4. It's like, oh, no. Right. It's a little more informal than that, but it's no less important, if not more important than what's going on at work.
Absolutely, because this is your life together. So you need to have that goal of this is where we want to get to. How are we going to achieve it? And is there anything we're doing now that's standing in our way?
What's the best way, do you think, to arrive at a common vision or goal? Just through the talking on it, or just making a list and checking it twice, or it's different for everybody, I guess?
It is. Everybody has their own methods of approaching that goal setting. I'm definitely a list-driven person, but some people just say, look, I know that in 10 years, this is where I want to be, or in 5 years, it doesn't have to be that far down the road. But some people are like, look, I'm just working because I want to get this really nice car, or mm-hmm. but some people need to say, okay, but I need to have my top three items that my goal is this. And if I don't have that laid out in front of me, I kind of lose focus, right? And other people don't realize, maybe they don't realize their partner is that type of person that if you don't lay it out in front of them and we don't have this list of, you know, our goal is to pay off our debt, or our goal is to save to buy a house, or whatever that goal is, then they'll lose sight and they'll start making, I don't want to say sloppy decisions, but maybe impulse buying or overspending. And then that creates, you know, tension.
I guess the common goal can be, we want to save X amount of money by this time. Now, mm-hmm. you could use it for a down payment on a house. You could use it to replace a car. You could use it for retirement savings or whatever you want to do. But if you have that common goal.
Right. And that's where that initial conversation has to happen. And one of the biggest things, I guess the pain points and the failure points sometimes in that conversation is that people don't go into it with the idea of a positive, productive, they get accusatory, I guess is the easiest way to say it. You get angry. You think, oh, you just blew all this money on, I don't know, I'll say car parts or something, right? Something yeah. And then the other person snaps back, well, you just bought those new shoes that you didn't need. And then it becomes just an accusing back and forth, you know, when you did this and then you did that and then you did this. You have to really exercise some self-control sometimes because those emotions can get heated when it comes to money, and just step back and say, like I said, give yourself time to prepare. Say, I know we're going to talk about this in a couple days. We each need to have a couple goals, not a list of accusations of you shouldn't have done X, Y, and Z. It's going to be a list of we want to achieve A, B, and C.
Well, also there's the occasional thing of the missed opportunity. Oh, I felt that I would get in trouble if I did this, so we didn't get those tickets for the once-in-a-lifetime concert that we somehow had talked about, you know, 5 years ago.
Right.
But maybe if they had talked about it, they would have agreed on spending the money on that once in a lifetime, even after 5 years, or come to the agreement of, yeah, you know what? No, it's no longer a goal. I guess right. If people are listening to each other.
And that is communication when it comes to managing finances in a relationship is really important. And it's not something that you just sit down once, work through it and say, okay, we're good. It should be something you check in on, just like maintaining a budget. You check in on it and make sure everything is still going the way you wanted, because finances change. The cost of things change. The amount of a bill could change. Money is just a fluid thing that you have to keep an eye on, what's coming in and what's going out. Unexpected expenses creep up on us. So you really do have to have those conversations. And normally, if let's say you're on biweekly paycheck cycles, say you get paid every other week, you're saying, okay, hey, anything come up that we need to pay attention to? Maybe just once a month because you're paying those monthly bills. Oh my gosh, the gas bill was really high this month. Are we good to cover that? Do we need to, you know, pull anything out of a savings account or?
Yeah, I could give you just as a side thing. I've mentioned this before about my parents. My dad, when he and my mother got married, he knew that she was great at math. I mean, she could do complex figures in her head, which helped great when she was working in business. He said, you want to handle the checkbook? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I guess. Here you go. And he'd bring the check home and put it in. And they did talk about common goals, which is why they were able to start out with a small apartment and end up with a, not a luxurious house, but a nice suburban home for what it was for the era. And there were times where he said, well, why can't we afford something? And my mother would say, and then I sat him down and showed him on paper why this would not be a good idea right now. But that's where you're ceding to one person to handle and explain it, as opposed to you're making every – you can't make every little decision together. I mean, small things you're going to – but, you know, for something major.
Yes, and sometimes there is someone in the relationship that you will say, look, I know this is kind of your thing. You are a numbers person. You feel more comfortable doing this, so I will defer to you most of the time, but – you need to have that open channel so the other person doesn't feel like they're shut out of the finances, and that communication is still very important.
To both their credits, I know there were times that he wanted to do something or thought it would be, oh, couldn't we just get a new car now? And she had explained no. But, you know, I can still hear my dad giving her so much credit for balancing the checkbook, keeping things going, and keeping him in line occasionally, although there were, you know, the few things it's like, oh, I really had wanted that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is good if you can have someone who has those, you know, that ability to explain, hey, look, this is what's coming in. And if we add in a car payment or purchasing a car, the numbers aren't going to work out for us.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, he admired the acumen she had to figure all this stuff out and to see five moves ahead.
Right.
And sometimes they were able to, oh, you want to do this? Well, maybe we can do this instead. And and they would work that out. So it did benefit both of them in the long run. It's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen. Lisa Kaffhammer is with ARC Federal Credit Union. And we have a show once a month called Money Matters. And we're talking about talking things over with your significant other when it comes to expenses, money, savings, bills, and everything else. We talked about planning in advance to sit down and talk about it so you're undistracted, having a vision or a goal, a common goal, and listening carefully to your partner. And the next thing Lisa said she wanted to talk about was talking openly about sharing expenses and savings. Some people put it all into one pile, and some have one big pile, two smaller piles are separate. Or how do you've probably seen everything while working at ARC.
I think so. But yes, the recommendation is to definitely have that joint account that you can both work from, both access. I know there are definitely married couples and long-term couples that don't ever combine their finances. I would like to say, hey, whatever you can work out that works for you financially, you know, however you make that
people
work.
People are different, whatever works for them.
Right. But I will say that having that joint access to an account does not mean that you cannot have your own accounts, right? I mean, you can, at ARC, we can open a joint account for you and then a separate account for your partner and then a separate account over here that's just you, right? And then you can access the joint account and then you can come in and access your own money. Having that slush fund, that mad money, as people like to call it, that, hey, maybe I want to get a birthday gift for my partner. And I don't want them to know how much I spent on it or where I got it from or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want them to see that. So you want to have that little bit put away. That I understand that. That makes sense. Anybody could justify that. So keeping those separate accounts is still, it makes sense.
And I guess it's changing. It used to be everybody put everything into one basket. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, some would keep it totally separate, but the thing you described, that's more of the common thing that you see now?
We do see that a lot, and I think a lot of that is that, like I said, people want to be able to say, hey, look, I wanted to get you a nice gift, or I was helping to surprise you by saving up for our vacation and contributing to that, or, you know, something that I didn't. Not that I don't want to say you're being deceptive, in a positive way, hey, I wanted to surprise you with this. And
or even mad money for yourself, because and this is presumably, this is not the butter and egg money we're talking about in the secondary account. That's all in the main account.
Right. This would be, oh my gosh, my car got a flat tire, but honey, don't worry about it. I do have a little bit saved up. I'll cover it. We don't have to take it out of our joint account.
Yeah. See, right now there's some people who are listening to this going, well, of course, that's the way we've always done it. And there are other couples maybe who have been married a few years longer going, how in the world would you even make that work? But again,
whatever.
Different strokes for different folks, whatever works for them.
Yeah, exactly. And that is the nice thing about we have those options at ARC. So you just say, hey, look, this is how I think I would like to set this up. This is how we need to function. We can do that for you.
Well, also, I think if you have an account with both a person's name on it, you have a legal right to use that account. Mm-hmm. And if something, and I'll just give an example. After my father passed away, my mother insisted on putting my name on her checking. Mm-hmm. Why? That way I would never have a problem if I had to write checks for her at some date. And
correct.
You know what? I did have to do that. But also, I said, well, then I'm going to insist and put your name as secondary to mine on my stuff in case anything happens to me. Now, she never had to do anything about that, but she knew what she had to do in case. Mm-hmm. So it may seem like, oh, why are you going through all that? But it is an idea that where you can help the significant other, where legally you may be blocked from doing it, because even at the bank that I was with and that she was with at the time, there was some confusion. Oh, wait, you are on the account. Oh, okay, yes, you can pay bills for right. her. You can do this. You can make a deposit or take something out to pay one of her bills. That's mm-hmm. fine. And I think that for most people, you don't see something coming. That's exactly why you'd want to have that, right?
Yes, I can make that easier. Now, I will say there are other legal channels, like a power of attorney. If someone, say, is in an accident or has something comes up, you never want to talk about like someone passing away.
Yeah.
But if you are married and your spouse passes away and they have an account in their name, you should be able to access that. Now, you do have a lot of people will live and have very long-term relationships with someone that they may not be married to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not on that account, that could become problematic to gain access to those funds.
Yeah. It's just if you need access to money immediately, having mm-hmm. both names on the account is the best thing. And as mm-hmm. there's a secondary account, you can worry about getting proper access through legal channels on that later. But if you need to pay a bill today, that way you've got something if both your names are on that.
Right. Comedy. Yeah. That main account would be what you would want to have. This is where we pay our bills from. This is, you know, our emergency normal. Hey, the car broke down or that we both could access it for, you know, family expenses.
And on the outline that you listed here, things you wanted to make sure we get to, set up a weekly or biweekly time to talk money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've already had the talk about money. We're set for life. We never need bring this up again. Doesn't work that way.
Unfortunately, no. But it is something that gets a little easier the more you do it, like anything in life, right? There's that initial learning curve of, oh my gosh, we have to get through this process. And how do we even start? The more you talk about it, the easier it gets to say, look, this is what we have to cover. And these are the important, okay, how much did you bring in this week? I mean, if you're on a salary and you know what your paycheck's going to be, that's not really a variable. But a lot of people have hourly jobs and their hours could change paycheck to paycheck. So, okay, what are you bringing in this week? And what were our bills this month? And did we have anything else come up? And so you do need to check in on that. And sometimes it just gets to a quick chat over dinner or lunch and just saying, hey, where do we stand this week? How are things looking? Should I set anything aside? Should I, do we need to make sure we pack our lunches for the next 2 weeks? No ordering out for lunch at work or just a quick
touch base. If you have been working extra hours overtime lately, oh, we've got a windfall. What do we do with it?
Right.
What's the best thing? Oh, yeah, put it in the slush fund. No, I think we've got this upcoming bill for the dentist or whatever.
Yeah. Or, hey, I'm going to buy that new purse that I saw and, oh, I don't know. What about that other?
Yeah.
It's
part of being in a committed relationship as to what you have to do to decide to do things together as opposed to, I don't have to ask. I just go and do something if I'm single. So how long in your experience when you've been talking with customers at ARC does it take them from that initial meeting to where they are into the groove of, oh, okay, now we have a common goal, now we're having our regular discussions, and it's much less stressful because we have a roadmap that we agree on. How much time can that take?
Honestly, that is very dependent on the personalities, the habits of the people in the relationship. Are they amenable to, hey, I might need to change some habits to get to where we want to go? Or are they someone that is very set in their ways and just isn't going to make changes? That may not be something that changes quickly. It may be a much longer, slower process. So we've seen any range for that. And don't be discouraged if you're like, oh man, we haven't talked about this for 6 weeks. You know, we need to sit down again. We need to get into this groove. And my response is always, hey, put an alarm in your phone, because I live and die by the alarms in my phone.
Except that it's like, what did I set this for?
Oh,
it's
no.
going off, but what am I supposed to remember?
Each alarm has a name, so I know.
Oh, okay.
I know what they're for. But yeah, calendar reminders. If you do, growing up, my mom had a big paper calendar on the fridge, on the freezer door on top there with all of our events, all of our stuff that we did. If you're a paper calendar person,
yep,
write it in
me.
There. You know, that's... doesn't have to be electronic, but jot it down there somewhere where you're going to see it.
I tried using Google calendars and all that. We use some of them for things here at the station, but I got to tell you, it's so much easier to have a paper calendar and just flip through it and write stuff down, or even cross it out if you have to, and move stuff around. So there, I've got it, as long as you remember to write down what you had remembered to begin with. But that's, whether it's paper or electronic, neither is going to be... different. You have to have the memory to get started on that. I want to go back. Is there anything else you wanted to make mention this year?
I think we kind of covered the important parts. Like, don't get discouraged if you feel like, man, we're really not getting this. This isn't helping. Sometimes it does take a while to build that habit. And you both of you have to work together on that. That is key.
Well, one thing I wanted to make mention, go back to something else you had mentioned on a previous program. And by the way, there are podcasts of ARC Federal Credit Union Money Matters that you can find at WRTA.com and the ARC website as well. So you can hear, if we reference something from a previous show, you can go back and listen to that and see if that would help you as well, or just hear something again if you wanted to kind of get the gist of it. But you talked about looking at those recurring expenses, and I was going through something on my phone. It's like, oh, you know what? I really don't need that anymore because they just charged me, so I've got it for another month. But I was doing it because you had mentioned it on the program, so it pays to do that.
Yes.
It's only like $39 a month only, except I could use the $39 for a different bill and at one time this was a service I needed. I don't now, so.
Right, yep.
Yeah. Now, as far as ARC Federal Credit Union, two locations.
Correct. We are in Altoona on 7th Avenue, and then we are in Juniata, which I know is technically still Altoona, but if you live in Juniata and you live by the mall, you know those are very different parts of Altoona.
Yeah.
But we are in Juniata also on North 7th Street. So we are right by the shops. If you're down in there by the shops, we're...
And if people want to call and talk to you or anybody else at ARC, the number is?
814-946-0857.
And the website is?
arcfcu.org.
And we will have that information on the podcast of this program going up on WRTA.com in just a few minutes. Lisa Kaphammer from ARC Federal Credit Union, thanks very much.
Absolutely.